Baseball is back.
I want to see some real games.
The season is going to be different.
They've been given a gift with this 60-game schedule.
On the field, in the socially distant clubhouse, in the empty stands.
There's a lot to talk about.
There's a stunning development.
And this is the place to do it.
Tony, he talks, I listen.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Big Wah Safety Insurance, Rodenheiser Home Services, Woodbridge Wines, Gravely, and Jackson Lumber.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So the Red Sox have a base runner off Yarbrough in front of Alex Verdugo.
Get out of here.
High fly ball, deep right field, driving back Renfroe at the wall, and that ball is out of here. It's gone. There's number one for Alex Verdugo.
How about that? Positive highlights with the Red Sox. How do you like that? Positive highlights. Red Sox 5-0 winners over the Tampa Bay Rays last night. They are now 4-8. In this abbreviated 2020 season, and I tell you what, let's open up the phone lines right away. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, is here as always. 617-779-0985 is your number on the Baseball Reporters. It's been a couple of nights. We spoke on Monday, and then Tuesday we didn't have a show because someone was on. Jimmy, who the hell was on Tuesday? The Celtics? Celtics game Tuesday night, right? Then last night we had Bruins followed by Celtics. So we had no show last night. So this is the first chance we've had to talk baseball, at least during this hour.
It's only fair considering how many times the Red Sox haven't shown up this season.
Well, so that's fair, too. Yeah, we were sort of on the same cycle as the Red Sox. When they, it really works out to the one show per win or something like that with the Red Sox. So, again, you want to talk baseball, now's your chance. 617-779-0985. They beat the Tampa Bay Rays last night. Again, 5-0. Red Sox are now 4-8. I told you earlier in the week, I have a hard time lying to you when I think a team sucks. And I do. I have a hard time lying to you, and I do think they suck. So I said earlier in the week, I think their chances of making, in fact, I think I said yesterday on Felger and Maz, Marshall Hook, that I think the Red Sox chances of making the playoffs were 0%.
That sounds very negative.
Okay, if you're asking me, they are 0%. I give them no chance of making the playoffs. And then I think I did say I will always allow for the, you know, 10%, 2%, call it whatever you want, margin of error that something crazy happens. And let's just say Martin Perez gets hot, Nathan Eovaldi pitches well, they have two functional guys at the head of the rotation, they can get into the playoffs. Because when eight out of 15 teams make the playoffs, it's really not asking that much. So, Marshall, you ask me, first of all, or you tell me, should the playoffs be a realistic goal for the Red Sox this season?
As where we sit right now, it should have been before the season began, but once they put together the team that they did, no, there's no chance.
Okay, so I sort of felt like you did, that it should have been, but now it's not. And I would like to take that back. I'm not giving up yet.
Okay,
I'm not giving up yet, and I'll tell you why. How many teams make the playoffs this year in the American League, Marshall?
Is it more than four?
Eight.
Did they expand it?
Yeah, eight? They did. Eight teams make the playoffs. Eight. Which means someone with a losing record is going to get in. And I said I had an epiphany because there's something that I missed with regard to baseball's playoff structure that I did not take into account. So you have three divisions. The three division winners get in. Do you know who the next five teams are?
Are they the next best records? Or are they the second place teams in each division?
Correct. It's the second thing you said. It's not just the five next best teams. It's the three second place winners get in. So even if you suck, but you finish second in your division, you can get into the playoffs. And the Red Sox, as bad as they have been in the early part of this year, and they are 4-8, they are merely one game behind the Rays, whom everyone has really is the consensus pick to be the second place team. Everyone thinks Tampa's better than the Red Sox. The Red Sox split down there and beat them 5-0. And honestly, looking at Tampa's lineup, Tampa can't score. Tampa can't really score, I don't think consistently. They've always been a pitching first kind of team. So the second place team in the American League East right now is the Baltimore Orioles. How about that? Now, I know the Orioles beat the Red Sox 2 out of 3 at Fenway to start the year. But, Marshall, all things being equal, right now only a game and a half separates the Red Sox from the Orioles. If the Red Sox and the Orioles played 10 games in a season, this season right now, which team do you like better?
I would take the Red Sox in that because the Orioles are should be an historically bad team.
I mean, the Orioles are a double-A team, a triple-A team. The Red Sox might have a triple-A pitching staff, but their lineup still has big leaguers in it. And the Toronto Blue Jays, who are currently in third place, do you know how many runs Toronto has scored in 9 games? 28. 28
yeah,
runs.
They should be better than that, though.
Okay.
They should be.
Okay, they should be, but they're not. And I said at the beginning of the year, I think that the games against the Blue Jays are going to ultimately determine the success of the Red Sox season. So I look at it and I say, well, wait a minute. Here's something I didn't factor in. What if the Red Sox somehow managed to go, call it 27-33, and it's actually good enough for second place because the Yankees are so dominant and the Yankees beat up on everybody in the division that the Red Sox actually can finish in second place? Am I crazy to think that, Marshall, that that's
well, no.
a possibility?
I mean, because but it's only because obviously this playoff qualification is so screwed up. Because basically what you're saying is it's between the Orioles, Blue Jays, Rays, and Red Sox for one of those four teams is guaranteed a playoff spot.
Correct.
One of those four teams. You want to know where the team with the losing record that's getting into the playoffs is? It's going to be whichever one of those four teams is in second place, because I wouldn't be surprised if it's the Yankees. To your point, if it's the Yankees and then four teams with losing records, because none of them are any good. I think the Blue Jays have a better lineup than any of those other, with the Red Sox, but I actually think I like the Blue Jays lineup. It's more unproven, but I like it better. And Tampa Bay's got the best pitching, but all of them are bad teams at some level.
I'm just telling you, and that's a good way to look at it, Marshall, the way you just spelled it out. One of those four is getting in. Orioles, Blue Jays, Rays, Red Sox. Tampa's 5-7. Tampa's not good. Tampa's 0-5 on the road. Not that that means anything without fans, but, you know, and the Red Sox were one of the losses at home.
Tampa's, I mean, I'm looking at their lineup. I don't know who their cleanup hitter is.
So this is my point.
I mean, like, is it Mike Zunino? I mean, is it Yandy Diaz? Who is their cleanup hitter? I don't know.
And I know that Tampa is sort of the media darlings now, that everybody likes the Rays because, let's face it, it's a low payroll team in a bad market. And last year they won 96 games, which you say, wow, that's amazing. What an amazing story. They got into the division series and they lost in 5. So, but do you realize that just a few years ago, Tampa was a 68-win team? Like, Tampa's not exactly this powerhouse that you look at and say year in and year out, they win 90 games and they make a few playoff appearances. They've made one playoff appearance in like the last 6 or 7 years. It was last year. A few years ago, they were a 68-win club. You don't have to be great this year. You just have to be better than the other crap in your division. And that's ultimately what it comes down to, is crap in your division.
The other second-place crap in your division.
Exactly.
Like, it's not even because the Yankees are in your division, but we can ignore them. They're going to win the division in a walk. That doesn't matter because second place gets into the playoffs as well, guaranteed.
In fact, really, all you have to do, Marshall, is beat those teams head-to-head. So Toronto's going to be at Fenway Park this weekend, and I just think it's an important thing to remember. Now, let me make this clear. Am I telling you that I think they're going to make it? No, I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you that they're just not dead yet. I neglected to take this into account earlier in the week, and that's my fault. So I want to start there. I also want to get to JD Martinez. Dan Shaughnessy, The Globe, wrote a column on Martinez today. John Tomasi of NBC Sports wrote one on him yesterday. And I want to go back to something that happened over the weekend with J.D. Martinez in New York that, frankly, I think is the most underplayed story in Boston right now. And if the media lets this go, they shouldn't. I think what J.D. Martinez did or appears to have done in New York on Saturday night is unconscionable. And I want to find out more about it. But first, we'll take a couple of calls. Tom is in Newton. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, guys, just wanted to weigh in on the Red Sox. I mean, obviously, you know, the pitching situation. I mean, we're in a period of time here where, you know, between the strategy from ownership and coronavirus and everything, you know, they want to spend less money and not more. I mean, it's not like they're flush with pitching prospects. And I just don't see how the thing gets a whole lot better from here on out. And I think it's a shame because for all the flack that people give this ownership group, they've actually done a pretty darn good job. I mean, they've got 4 titles for the Patriots 6. they've done pretty well. It's just a shame that the thing isn't managed well to the extent that they're constantly, you know, going from winning the World Series to just bottoming out like this. I just think it's a shame.
So, Tom, I agree with you. I think that's a real issue, right? It's not an issue of overall ceiling. I mean, they've hit, you know, they've got your four championships, as you've said. So how much better is it going to get from here? I don't know. And I don't understand the inconsistency in the philosophy either. I don't get that. Because I think at his core, John Henry believes in that Moneyball sort of logic, right? Because, again, he hired Theo. He wanted Billy Beane. That was at the very beginning. And so I think that told us that's the kind of guy he wanted. And they got that kind of guy in Theo. They had success with it. And then they went to Cherington, who wanted to go that way. And they veered away from it and went to Dombrowski. And then he rebuilt it with the minor league players that they had largely. And then they let Dombrowski take him away from it again. So I don't understand that part either. I would like to see them find an executive who understands the short term and the long and can balance them. And that's hard because most guys either are from small markets and they protect their minor leaguers too much, or from their big markets and they spend too much money. There aren't that many Theo Epsteins and Andrew Friedmans out there. Chris is in Worcester. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Tony, I want to talk about your epiphany, and I appreciate you. Actually, you clarified it. You clarified it before I jumped on you. But Baltimore owned us this season, you know, in the first series we played them, and then they owned us last year. And I know you said Toronto is really important to us, but of all teams, Baltimore owned us last year, and they owned us, you know, in the first series we met. So I was wondering what your thoughts were about that.
Hey, Chris, just real quick, when you say the Orioles owned the Red Sox last year, they played 19 times. How many games did Baltimore win?
I thought, I could be wrong, and I apologize. Correct me if I'm wrong. I thought Baltimore had us last year. Sorry, Tony.
No, don't apologize. Don't apologize. I just, you know, we do a talk show and information's important. Because I felt the same way. I thought, boy, the Red Sox had trouble with the Orioles last year. The Yankees killed the Orioles. The Red Sox ended up 12-7 against Baltimore last year. Now, Baltimore was so bad that what we wanted was something like 15-4, you know, or something in that range. So you didn't get that level of dominance. They didn't play as well against the Orioles as they should have, but they ended up 12-7. Now, they had a better pitching staff. They had a better team in general, certainly than this one. But I would argue the Orioles are now worse, too. All it takes is finishing in second place. As Marshall Hook said, among the four teams other than New York in the division, Tampa, Baltimore, Toronto, and the Red Sox, one of them is guaranteed a playoff spot. Guaranteed. And right now, Baltimore is that team. Can you believe that?
It is. I mean, but I also think we can all agree that's not going to stick.
Okay, but Marshall, what I'm telling you is
one of them's going to get in.
Tampa's not great either. Don't kid yourself on the Rays. They have a good operation down there. It's a team that could very easily win 75 games in any season.
And I'll say this about Toronto, and I've held this firm like 20 years now. I've never believed in Toronto. I understand they won back-to-back World Series in the 90s. Since then, I've never once invested in Toronto. I just don't believe in them.
Okay, I'll give you another variable with Toronto. Where are they playing their home games?
Buffalo! I couldn't remember earlier today. I'm like, I know it was going to be Pittsburgh, but it's not. It's obviously not Toronto. They're playing in a AAA park in Buffalo.
I mean, who the hell knows how pissed off those guys are and what that's going to do to their season. Anyway, 617-779-0985. Just something to consider. J.D. Martinez in the weekend in New York. If you missed this story, I don't blame you. I missed it too. It's been buried a little bit. And I don't mean deliberately, but I think it really, and I'm not typically one who gets on this thing and lectures the media about doing the job, but can we find out more information about what happened with J.D. Martinez in New York on Saturday night? And if you don't know, I'll tell you when we come back.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is a show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to the Baseball Reporters. I told you in the last segment what happened with J.D. Martinez over the weekend. So let me give you the whole story. And this was in Peter Abraham's column earlier in the week. Okay, talking about the plight of the Red Sox and where they are, and that when a team goes bad, guys start to quit. Okay, you can't win with a pitching staff like that, and the players know it. Their level of play is reflected it, Peter Abraham writes. Saturday night's 5-2 loss against the Yankees was a good example. The Red Sox put two runners on base with two outs in the ninth inning against journeyman right-hander David Hale. One swing could have tied the game. With J.D. Martinez available to pinch hit, Andrew Benintendi took his turn at the plate and struck out on four pitches to end the game. That left him 2-for-24 on the season. Now, I think Benintendi is since gone 0-for-5, and he's now 2-for-29. Okay, so in any case, Martinez at that point had batted .320 against the Yankees with a 1,022 OPS since joining the Red Sox, but he was not available. Here is how manager Ron Renicki explained it. Quote, he had been in the cages trying to get loose. It's a little harder to get JD quickly loose. But we had given him a couple of innings before and talked to him about it. He's used to certain routines that he goes through, and he knows different situations when they come up that there may be an opportunity. But Jerry Nairn, the bench coach, had gone down there a couple of innings before and just kind of gave him a heads up to be ready. So look, I'm going to stop there just to clarify something here. Renicki goes out of his way twice to say that J.D. Martinez is someone who has trouble getting loose and that has certain routines that he adheres to. He went out of his way twice to say that before he actually got to the meat of the story. Okay? I'll continue the quote. I would rather give him the day off, which we did. But if we needed it to win a ball game, we thought we may put him up there. Well, they needed him to win a ball game. 5-2, 2-on in the ninth. He's been told two innings before, we may need you to hit if the situation presents itself. Fine, okay, so now he knows. So Peter Abraham then asks again, so could he have hit or not? What's the answer? We could have, Renicki said. Again, both of us probably rather would have not, him and us. That's kind of what the decision came to. So when he says both of us, he doesn't mean him and Jerry Nairn, the bench coach, Renicki and Jerry Nairn. He means the team and the player. Both of us probably would rather would have him not, him and us. That's kind of what the decision came to. Why wouldn't J.D. Martinez want to hit in that situation, Marshall? Does anyone else find this, alarming?
I have no idea why. Like, you're a designated hitter. You have a simple job is to hit. And there are so many levels that I don't know. We're giving him an off day in a 60-game season ahead of a week this week that has two off days. They had an off day before Tampa. They have an off day today. Like, it is baffling to me. Baffling to me, unless he is just disgusted with this team and has, as you said at the top, maybe just quit on it.
Okay, so now look, if this were an issue with his back, then I would think the Red Sox would say, look, his back was a little tight. We tried to get him loose. We couldn't get him loose. He's fine. He's going to, we just got to stretch him out properly before games. They didn't say that. And when I read those comments from Renicki, you know what I come to? They went down and said, do you want to hit? And he says, well, you know what? I got to go through my whole thing to get ready. And they said, well, can you start early? And then they get to the ninth inning with two guys on, and J.D. Martinez didn't want to hit. And so, look, I haven't seen any quotes from J.D. Martinez on this. I know we're in a pandemic, and I don't mean to lecture the media, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not letting this go. I'm not letting this story go. I'm going to ask about it every day. If we have media guys on, and at some point we will, again, I'm going to ask him, has anyone asked J.D. Martinez yet why he didn't hit in New York? Can we get a more definitive answer from the GM? Can someone call Chaim Bloom? Did you talk to Renicki? What the hell happened there? Can someone make some phone calls and ask some questions? And how about this? Instead of, and I'm not blaming Pete Abe, but instead of burying it in the story, can we get a headline on it? Can we put it in a significant spot where people see it rather than burying it in the middle of the story? What other story is there with the Red Sox that would be more important when they're 4-8 and at the time they were 3-7 or going on 3-7, but it was 3-7 by the time we read the story? What more important story is there with the Red Sox than a guy doesn't want to hit because the team sucks? A guy who you're paying, what, $23 million a year, whatever the number is?
Is he the highest paid active guy in the roster?
I believe he is. Yep, I believe he is. Highest paid player. Highest paid player on the team won't go in there and hit with two guys on base in New York with a chance to tie up the game. Here's the other part of it that should go right up your tailpipe. Right up your tailpipe. New York might as well be a freaking shoebox. And J.D. Martinez, for a right-handed hitter, drives the ball to the opposite field maybe better than any other right-handed hitter in the big leagues. I mean, he's up there. And so you're telling me him popping one into the seats in New York is a complete long shot? I'll say it again. I'm not letting it go. I'm not letting it go. So whether people cover the team, and I know I sound like I'm lecturing, I sound like a complete a-hole. But whether you cover the team, you're an editor who writes the headlines, make the calls and put a damn headline on it. Most of the city doesn't even know this happened because the Red Sox suck. And it kind of just slipped into the middle of the story without any real attention drawn to it. Shaughnessy wrote a column today about J.D. Martinez, about he's always pitching about something. So, and this relates to a John Tomasi item that appeared on NBC Sports. And Tomasi wasn't the only one because all the interviews are done now via Zoom. J.D. Martinez complaining about the fact that he can't prep the same way because he doesn't have video in the dugout. Crying about the fact that there's no video in the dugout. I've said this before. I don't think video should be allowed at all in the dugout during the game. I don't think the players should be allowed to leave the dugout during the game. Why they're allowed iPads, why they're allowed Apple Watches, why they're allowed to go back up to the clubhouse and make phone calls, is beyond me. There's a urinal at the base of the stairs or a bathroom down there. There always has been. Why can't guys sit in the dugout and watch the game like everyone else does? Like everyone did at every level they ever played. Why can't they just stay there until the game's over, then go get your iPad? So J.D. Martinez is relying on the iPad to hit? What, he can't go up there and make the determinations in real time? Is that the whole deal? There were generations of players that did it that way. He can't do it that way? I just think the whole thing feels to me like one big cop-out. By the way, he's having a crappy season. 244, no home runs. None. Zero for a team that has to win with offense. And then Saturday night comes and they have a chance to win a game, even if they're down three. But for them, that's not that bad. You have a chance to send your best player up there and he won't go up and hit? Oh my gosh. I can't understand how this story hasn't got more attention than it has. And I will rail about it for until the Red Sox give me something better to talk about. Has J.D. Martinez answered the question yet? Why wouldn't he hit in New York? Why wouldn't he hit? Can someone tell the truth, please? Was he being a pill? Was he already out of uniform? What was it? Why wouldn't he hit? I think that is a disgrace. It's one thing for a fan to quit on the team because you think they suck. It's another thing for players to quit on the team. And I'm not done railing on this yet either, by the way. Marshall Hook has your headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I want to take a couple of calls quickly, but again, I want to get back to this JD Martinez thing. Unbelievable. Saturday night in New York, Red Sox are down 3 in the ninth. Two men on, Andrew Benintendi's coming up, and as the expression goes, Benintendi couldn't hit water right now if he fell out of a boat. And J.D. Martinez, the Red Sox go to him a couple of innings before, ask him to get ready to hit, and then he doesn't hit. And the manager postgame says, well, I think ultimately we preferred to stay away from us, both sides, us and him. So he didn't want to hit either? Like, the manager's covering for the player, if you ask me. That's what it sounds like. The player doesn't want to hit in a 5-2 game in New York with two guys on in the ninth to potentially send it to extra innings. He doesn't want to hit. Bob's in Methuen. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Tony. With JD, he's always unhappy about something. And
the
situation in Saturday night's game, that's one of those situations where the entire rest of the team is watching as to who's in charge. And the manager, Renicki, should have said, hey, you're hitting. Get ready. You're going to hit.
Bob, do you blame the manager for that?
You know what, Tony? I have to blame both parties in this, JD and the manager.
Who do you blame more?
I'd say it's about 50-50 because if someone has coached Tony, there's certain times where you know the rest of the team is watching what you're going to handle, how you're going to handle it. And you have to handle it.
Bob, but I'll tell you what bugs me about manager bashing is because fans do it no matter what. Like, but to me, there are times to bash a manager and times not to. I don't think this is one of them. And look, let me tell you that. And I know I cut you off, okay? But what's Ron Renicki's long term prognosis with the Red Sox, really? Do you think he's the guy for them for the long term?
Of course not, Tony. But again, he's the guy for the short term. And he has the rest of the team in the dugout watching how he's going to handle that situation. So, again, he's showing the players that, okay, I don't want to cause any problems here. I'm going to do what the player wants rather than what I want. So I do think there's blame to go around on both parties here.
Okay, I'm just telling you, Ron Renicki is a caretaker. That's what he is. He's been handled the Red Sox roster to handle the team because they fired the manager right before the start of spring training because he was going to get suspended anyway. So you weren't going to have him either way, and they didn't have anyone to hire. So Renicki became the guy. So I'll tell you what, if this is just going to be another Red Sox season where we kick the crap out of the manager and blame him for them sucking, then please don't call. There's a lot of people to bitch about this year. Ron Renicki's at the bottom of the list. He's at the bottom of the list, and I find it to be extraordinary in a negative way that a Red Sox player, the highest paid guy on the team, could be asked to pinch hit in a game in New York in the first week of the season and refuse to go in the game, and someone wants to blame the interim manager, and I don't care whether he has the title or not, he's the interim manager. We're going to put that on Ron Renicki or the same amount on Ron Renicki as J.D. Martinez? It's a J.D. Martinez story. It's not a Ron Renicki story. It's a J.D. Martinez story. Let's stick with J.D. Martinez. He won't go in the game to hit. I can't tell you how much this pisses me off, in case you can't tell. Really? So it's not enough to pay him this sort of money and now they get to choose when they hit and when they don't? This is what it's going to be? You can't be serious. We're going to tolerate this now? Guys can just choose when they want to play and when they don't, and there's no criticism, no ramifications, no repercussions. None. I want more questions need to be asked about this. Not enough questions have been asked. Jimmy, do you remember years ago, and now I'm like going back to a story. Do you remember who Sherman Douglas was with the Celtics?
Yeah, number 20 point guard, little dumpy point guard.
Sherman Douglas once came out of a game and took his sneakers off, and they asked him to go back in, and he didn't have his sneakers on. He couldn't go in the game. So what, are we going to blame the coach for that? How come he didn't tell him to leave his sneakers on? Does the coach really have to tell a player to leave his sneakers on? Does a manager really have to tell a player, hey, you're our best hitter. You're our highest paid guy. If a situation comes up to tie the score, can you please be ready to hit? Or, you know what, let me ask politely so I can get on your good side. Would you like to hit for us tonight, please? Could you do that? Wait, maybe there's something in it for you. What do you have to do? You have to beg? How about doing your effing job? Regardless of what the team record is. July 1st, 2004, Jimmy, game at Yankee Stadium. Nomar Garciaparra had just come back from an injury. He was scheduled to have the night off. The Red Sox at that point were 7.5 games behind the Yankees. They had lost the first two games of a series. If they win, they're 6.5 out. If they lose, they're 8.5 out, and they're probably dead and buried for the division. They go to Nomar and say, hey, you know, we might need you in the extra innings here. But it's Nomar's day off, and he ultimately doesn't go into the game, presumably because of his judgment. At least that's how it was portrayed to us.
That's true.
Do you remember what happens there? Who got blamed for that?
I think Tito did.
No, Garciaparra did.
No.
Garciaparra got skewered for it. Skewered for it. Wouldn't go in the game. That's how it was perceived. Huh. And you know what else happened that night?
That's when Jeter went into the stands, right?
Jeter went into the stands.
As did Pokey Reese.
The Yankees won in 13 innings. Jeter went into the stands, bloodied himself to make a catch. Went by slamming over the railing at third base in July. In July. Middle of the season, plenty of baseball left. In July, he did that to beat the Red Sox. And after the game, in the clubhouse, you know what Red Sox players were talking about? Jeter's play. And you know what one of them said? That's why he's got 5 effing rings. That's why.
No.
That's why that guy has 5 effing rings. And you know who they were really talking about, even though they were talking about Jeter? That Nomar wouldn't get off his ass and get into the game. Okay, so now J.D. Martinez doesn't want to hit in a big spot. Are we going to play? We're going to blame the manager? Come on. Can someone get to the bottom of this story? Can we ask more questions about it, please?
So
please.
Let me ask you a question. I am 100% not blaming the manager. I'm not. But if you had the same manager this year as you had last year, do you think J.D. Martinez does the same thing?
Probably not. But who is that really a reflection of?
No, I think I'm not blaming Ron Renneke. I am saying that if I can go to my greater point about the Red Sox, is they didn't care about this year. And the manager is part of that. Ron Renneke is not, I don't think he's a manager. I don't think he's manager. I know he's been one before, but for this team right now in this time, I don't think he's manager material. And if they had really gone out and had a search for a new manager, I don't think Ron Renneke's that guy. This is 100% on J.D. Martinez, but it is worthy of note that if the Red Sox had put a real manager in there, it also probably doesn't happen.
Are you sure about that?
I'm not. I'm not sure about that. But
it's a J.D. Martinez story, Marshall. It's a J.D. Martinez story.
I don't highest believe paid that guy, J.D. Martinez highest paid doesn't guy hit on for the Alex
team.
Cora.
Highest paid guy on the team. 5-2 game in New York. 9th inning. Asked to hit, won't do it. Steve's in Carver. Go ahead, Steve.
Maz, I would tell J.D. Martinez, well, maybe if two of the organizations he played with didn't get caught for rampant cheating, then he could dink around with his iPad more. Maybe they wouldn't have changed the rules. But I think something important to watch this season is the trade deadline. The Red Sox have some veteran players I think could be useful for some teams that are contending. Brandon Workman, Kevin Pillar is hitting the ball like he's never hit before. I think Jose Peraza could be valuable, even the catcher Pilecki. So, I don't know. Do you think that some of these guys should be traded, or should they keep these guys and hope that next year they can be a decent team and they can contribute? What do you think?
Steve, all in play. anything you can get for any one of those guys, yes, I'd move them all. And again, I told you, I don't even think the playoffs are necessarily dead yet. I don't. All you have to do is finish second in that crap-ass division that you're in. Because that's what it is. It's garbage. It's a garbage division. Second-place team gets in. You could go 25 and 35 and finish second and get in. I think that's your best route. Take a good look at the teams in the division. And don't get all geeked up on Tampa. Tampa's no great shakes either. That team, a few years ago, won 68 games. Okay, so don't get too geeked up about Tampa, especially in a COVID year. That thing could come apart fast down there, too, if they start quitting. David's in Nashville. Go ahead, David.
Hey, what's going on, Matt? So what do you think about ownership just giving up and just selling the team? Because they seem more invested in that Liverpool soccer team or whatever it is that they're doing over there. And we can certainly see how it's making the Sox suffer. So what do you think if they should just sell the team, let's restart again, and just go from there? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, so again, like there are just certain things that I think are misrepresented. Marsha, did they spend on this team?
Not this year. Retroactively, they have.
What if I told you they have the third highest payroll in baseball?
Well, that, yeah, but how much is that for players actually on the roster or players that were, that based on what they knew going into this season? Like some of that money is David Price money. A lot of that money is Chris Sale money. A lot of that money, I mean, they're still paying the dude down in AAA. I mean, they are spending a lot of money, but it hasn't, I mean, Dustin Pedroia is part of that number.
Okay.
What did they do to get this team ready for this year, even before, I mean, even when they thought it was a 162-game season?
Martin Perez.
Yeah.
No, I get you. I'm not giving you that as a counter. I'm giving you that as Martin Perez is the only move they made. They didn't do a lot to improve this team this year. The team got worse. Two ways about it.
And the thing of it is,
Marshall, did you expect the worst team in baseball?
No, not at all. Kay. But I didn't expect a good team. And the thing of it is, I don't actually fundamentally blame them. Like, I don't blame it on Dave Dombrowski, but they let Dave Dombrowski, in part, build them into this corner of spending all of this money. And there's got to be a reckoning for that. And so, fine. My problem with the Red Sox is they didn't try this year, but they lied to us about it. Like, they can't come out and say, no Boston team can come out and say, you know what, we need to retool, whatever terminology you want to use, bridge year.
Never happens.
You know, they will never say that. It is so obvious that that's what this is, though.
Okay, never
when
happens.
When your biggest free agent signing is Martin Perez, then you're not trying this year.
Okay, they wanted to get under the tax. There's no two ways about it. Okay, no two ways about it. They wanted to get under the tax, which, again, they've done consistently every third year, pretty much for the last however many years. Like that. So, again, I don't like that either. But what I hate is that people are deflecting the J.D. Martinez story to that. The J.D. Martinez story is a story unto itself. J.D. Martinez was asked to hit in the ninth inning of a game in New York with two men on and said he'd rather not. J.D. Martinez said that. According to Ron Renicky, I find that to be unconscionable. I find that to be completely like the antithetical to everything an athlete is supposed to be. That to me is the greatest offense that an athlete could make. I don't want to. I'd rather not. I'd rather not do my job, but still collect my check. Me too. Sign me up. Well, who wouldn't rather do that? Oh, please, I need more info on this. Ask more questions. Give me a headline. Let people know about it. Please. Please, even though they suck, people need to know about this.
This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.